You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Just clear something up. Mostly people tell me that I need to preach. I'm not one that wants to do that. I love to teach. And kind of like our pastor at our church, he'll always say that he's a teacher, not a preacher. But either way, he's a pastor. But I've shared my testimony here, but I just really feel God has something else that He needs you guys to hear. Not about what I've been through in my life, going to prison, drugs, and all that stuff. He gave me this. It's been a few years ago, but I entitled it, Where You Are is What You Have Chosen. You know, just like not only physically, but just where you're at spiritually and everywhere. Because, you know, even being here, you've chosen to be here. You chose to come here. You may say, well, my parole officer or probation or the halfway house make me come. No, they don't make you come. You know, you choose to be here. And it's just like in prison, you know, you can say that they make you do this and make you do that. But with everything, you have a choice. And where I want to go is 1 Corinthians 10:13. Right, and it reads, that no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So there is no temptation that has ever come upon anyone that is not common to man. You are not unique in your struggle and your temptation and your trial. I know the biggest lie of the enemy is to isolate you and to tell you that what you're going through, that no one else is going through, that what you're going through, that no one will understand, that, you know, you don't share with anybody because they won't understand. I can remember before I went to prison, before I got saved, I was really out of control. And in my mind, the thoughts I had, the things I did, I felt that I couldn't go to anybody because if I did, they were going to say I was crazy and lock me up in a mental institution. I wasn't worried about going to jail, but I really thought that my thought process, what I was going through and the things that I did, I really thought that I was unique in what I was going through. I thought that I was the only one that was going through that, that had those thoughts, that did those things. And come to find out later on that I wasn't, you know, that it was a lie of the enemy to make you think that what you're going through, nobody else is going through. You know, that no, don't talk to anyone else about that, because if you do, they're going to laugh at you, or they're going to say you're crazy, or whatever, you know, whatever fear you have of that, you know. And that's, like I said, that's one of the biggest lies of the enemy, is to tell you that you're unique in your struggle, that no one's going to understand, that no one else has been through what you're going through, you know, and no matter how tragic, whatever it is you went through, that somewhere someone else has gone through what you're going through. And them having gone through that, they can share with you and tell you, hey, look, I went through that and this is how I got through it. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. If you notice that the character of God comes first, that God is faithful and He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. And I remember being in prison. I got set off three times, on my fourth time when I made parole. On the third time, I really thought I was going to make it, because in my mind, I told the Lord, I'm at where this is all I can take, Lord. I can't go on anymore. I don't want to go on anymore. And so I really thought that I was at the point of taking all that I was able to bear. And I got another set off, and I couldn't understand why. I didn't know what was going on, but I knew that God is faithful, and that He wasn't going to allow me to be tempted beyond what I was able. And so He knew, He saw something in me that I didn't see. And that's how God is. That's how, you know, ministers and men and women like Leland and Linda, they see something in you sometimes that you don't even see. You know, you can count it off as, oh, you know, there's nothing there, but there is something there. You know, each one of us can touch people that the other person can't. There's people in my life that you guys will never meet, that I can touch, and that you guys will never, you know, never see them. And there's people that come in contact with you guys that none of us will ever know or see, and you're able to minister to them. He will allow you to be tempted, but He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. And that's a promise of God, that He is faithful, and He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Although God allows us to be tempted, He also provides a way of escape. I have found that prayer, that the Word of God, and that fellow believers are three ways that you can escape that. You know, if you look at Jesus, when He was tempted, He used the Word of God. He told Satan, "It is written, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." He used Scripture to combat what the enemy had thrown at him. So although God allows us to be tempted, He also provides a way of escape. We can go to James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15 next. Go ahead and read it. it reads, Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth the death. You know, it's to look at temptation as an opportunity to be blessed is not something that is easily done. You know, you're blessed when you endure temptation. A lot of times, you know, you go through things, you don't think about being blessed. You don't think about your trial or your struggle being something good. You know, and I know that everyone here has had some kind of struggle somewhere. And in the midst of it, you probably weren't thinking that I'm blessed, that I'm blessed through this. You know, but just the fact that you're here, you're blessed. Like I said, you know, aren't you glad you're not in booking? I'm sure glad. Aren't you glad you're not waiting for them to call rec or to call chow or, you know, all the things that you had to wait for? You know, I'm glad. I'm very thankful. Every day I thank God that I'm free, not only free on the inside, but free from prison. Verse 13 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." And this verse, it absolves God. It takes away God from taking any blame when we choose to sin. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Temptations, they come by many ways. But in short, they come about when we're drawn away by our own desires. You know, what this verse is saying, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. What it's saying is that you choose to do that. You know, and I was sharing with my wife, there's a difference when you're in bondage. When you're in total bondage to something, you feel you have no choice. Whatever it is that has you in bondage makes the choice for you. You know, those who are addicted to drugs, they made the choice for you to go rob. They made the choice to go steal, to go do drugs. You know, that's what bondage is. But apart from that, you have a choice. You choose that. And the things that you chose led to that bondage, whatever it was. So, you know, when we are tempted, it's by our own desires. It's by our own lust that draws us away. So you can say it's your own fault. You know, basically is what the word is saying, that when I fall into sin, I choose to sin. You know, that's true for me and that's true for everyone here. And the definition of entice, it means this: to attract by offering hope of reward or pleasure. With temptation comes an offering of hope, of reward or pleasure. It comes by the enemy. Why do you think so many choose to sin? Because there is a reward. When we choose to sin, there's a reward that comes. It's not a heavenly reward, and it's not an eternal reward. But it is a reward because it's promised. Then when sin has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Given into sin, it'll only bring death. And you know, the enemy will entice us with a reward if you choose to sin. But you know, God has a reward also. He has a reward when we choose His way. You know, and go to Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. And while you're going there, you know, I used to always hear, you know, as a Christian about the presence of God. You know, about being in the presence of God and God's presence. You know, do you feel His presence? And I would always wonder, you know, how do you know that God's presence is here? Or how do you know that you're in God's presence? And this scripture actually tells us, it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." In your presence is fullness of joy. You will have fullness of joy when the presence of God is present. If you don't have any joy in your life, more than likely you don't have God in your life. You don't have His presence in your life. If you're walking around with no joy, you're the one that doesn't smile. You ridicule everything. You ridicule everybody. It has nothing to do with the other people. It has something to do within them. I know, because before I got saved, you know, there's a scripture that says, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love your neighbor if you don't have love for yourself. It works the same way, the opposite, because before I got saved, I hated everything about me. I hated everything about my life. And I, in turn, hated people. I hated I didn't like people. I didn't care for them. And that was a reflection of what I felt about me. So, you know, the ones that are there, you know, they have no joy, and they make themselves, they exalt themselves by putting down others. They do that because that's the only way that they can be exalted. You know, the scripture says, he who humbles himself will be exalted. He who exalts himself will be humbled. I always hear people pray, you know, God humble me. I don't pray for God to humble me, because he'll humble you in a way that you don't want. You know, I had 10 years in prison to get humbled, and believe me, I did. But it says, he who humbles himself will be exalted. If you want God to exalt you, humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And what God offers us are pleasures that are forever. You know, this scripture says that at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And, you know, these are not earthly pleasures. These are not fleshly, you know, carnal pleasures. These are eternal. These are heavenly. And God's promises, they are true and they are eternal. And the last scripture, we go to Galatians 5:22 through 23. It's a very familiar passage for Christians. I always remember people talking about this, and I can remember going through a difficult time, and I didn't have the fruit of the Spirit, and I can remember a brother telling me, "Brother, you need a little Galatians 5:22 in your life." You know, I know what he was telling me. You know, you need to get that frown off your face, and, you know, get the joy of the Lord. But that scripture says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." You know, this says it's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, you can't have love and joy and not have the rest. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit. These are all incorporated in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, and which with each of these, it says, against such there is no law. If you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, you know, there's no law against that. You know, of God's law. You know, it's without the Spirit, you cannot love. Without the Spirit, you can't have joy. Without the Spirit, there is no peace. There's no long-suffering. You can think that you're enduring. You can think that you have long-suffering. But you'll have a breaking point. Without the Lord, you'll have a breaking point. It's just like when I got that last set off, that would have been my breaking point. Apart from Christ, that would have been my breaking point, and I probably wouldn't be here right now. I don't know what would have happened, but I do know that because God's word is true, and I believe that God is faithful, and He wouldn't allow me to be tempted beyond what I'm able to bear. I believe that, and I held on, and I said, "Lord, that if I have to be here more time, then I'm gonna do it with you." And that's a choice that you make. That's a choice that I made. And that's a choice that you have to make. You know, if you're not tired of going in and out of prison, in and out of jail, you're not tired of doing drugs, you know, then you can leave this place and you can be the same person that you've always been. But it's going to lead you to the same places you've always been. And it's not to say that you're not going to have your struggles. It's not to say that, you know, that the struggles aren't going to come. I remember I have a quote here. And I wrote it down. I've memorized it because it's so true. I don't even remember who said it, but it said, "All disappointment is a result of unmet expectations." You know, if you don't get disappointed when everything goes right, you know, when everything's according to schedule, and, you know, the wife, the husband, the kids are acting right, you know, there's no disappointment there. It's always as a result of unmet expectations. When we put expectations on people, and when they're not met, that's what happens. We get disappointed, and anyways, but what like I said, where you are is what you have chosen. The things that led you here, you know, are what you've chosen throughout your life. You know, I didn't just wake up one day and decide to go try to kill somebody. I didn't do that just overnight. Say, "Oh, I'm gonna go try to kill somebody." I didn't just wake up and become addicted to drugs and become an alcoholic. It was a process. You know, when I first started drinking, doing drugs, it was fun. I'm not going to lie. I don't lie to, I have opportunity to speak to youth, and I tell them the truth. I say, you know, when I started doing that, I had fun. It was fun to do that, and I enjoyed it. But there came a time when it wasn't fun anymore, and it turned on me. But it was my choosing. I had chose to drink that first beer, to smoke that first joint. I chose to do those things. And because of those choices, they led me down a path that led me to prison. But I'll tell you this one thing, that prison saved my life. You know, I was out of control, and I thought I needed a few years in prison to sober up, because I thought that was my that was my problem. I just needed to sober up. You know, that's my problem. If I can just sober up, I'll be okay. So, you know, I was ready to do a few years in jail, but God had something different. You know, I don't know why I had to do 10 years. I may never know, but I do know that because of all that, you know, I had a chance. I came out to Andrews because of the Kairos Prison Ministry, because of the Shechem Home Halfway House that was there. And had it not been for any of that, I wouldn't have decided to come out in this area. You know, and those are things that I chose to do. Those are things that I chose, and I said, this is what I'm going to do. But I wouldn't have met my wife. We wouldn't have a beautiful baby. And by the way, we have another baby on the way. She's due in March. And thanks. But you know, I get frustrated at work sometimes. I'm doing something at work that I have no desire. They have me as a technician apprentice. I have no desire to be a mechanic. I don't like working on cars. I don't care to work on cars. I don't care about that. You know, they pay people a lot of money to fix cars. You know, I don't want to be one of them. But I was at this dealership when Sewell bought them out. So a lot of changes have happened. But you know, and I know one thing, that coming out, people think, you know, I want a job that pays me, that's going to pay me enough to take care of whatever I need to. If you're a Christian and you believe God's word, He's going to take care of you no matter how much you make at work. You know, I got out washing cars, my first job, making almost minimum wage, and I was happy. You know, I was just, when that first check, it wasn't much, but I was just, it's like, wow, they're paying me. You know, I've been working 10 years and they hadn't paid me a dime. You know, but give you $100, you know, when you get out. But you know, and I worked my way up, you know, in God, and I was faithful in tithing from the time that I was in prison. When I got money on my books, I would set aside some to tithe. And I'm sharing this with you guys that where I'm at now, it wasn't because God just said, okay, I'm going to put you here. It was because of choices I made in my Christian walk. That there was a time when I chose, you know, that I can't hang with the homeboys anymore. I got to do this all the way, you know, and there was consequences for that. But it didn't matter, because I wanted to give 100% to God and not half over here and half over here. And I made a decision that God's word is true and that I'm going to believe it regardless of what I think or what I feel. And when I remember when I made that decision, God's word began to be real for me. I began to experience it. God began to show me stuff through it. And it's nothing special about people that know how to teach or preach, whatever, that they can break down the scriptures. It's all that what the Lord does. You know, He'll bring to remembrance in times of need. But if you don't read it, He can't bring nothing. He can't bring what's not there to remembrance. You have to read it. There was times that I read this and it was like a book. I didn't get nothing out of it. I just read it. But God said, keep doing it. And I can remember going through things and God would bring a scripture to mind. And it was exactly what I needed. And like I said, the choices I made have led me to where I am at right now. You know, the job I do is not what I want to do. But the company I work for is a great company. And they want me to stay. I remember my pastor told me, because I was venting to him and telling him, I can't do this anymore. And he goes, well, they must like you because you're still working there. He goes, if they didn't like you, you wouldn't have a job. So, you know, and they've assured me that, you know, they want me working there. They just don't know where they want me at. But, you know, when they took over my pay, we were a small dealership. It was a small dealership before Sewell took over. And my pay after Sewell came on got cut in half. You know, and I had a lot of people tell me, why are you still working there? I wouldn't stay there, you know, if they cut your pay in half. And I had to tell them, you know, you don't take a job. Another job because they offer you more money. If that's your only reason of going to that job, then you're messing up, you know. And through this job at Sewell, they've started a Bible study, and we meet every Friday. You know, this is a company that you know, sells cars and fixes cars, and they asked me, and I remember it was after I decided, okay, Lord, I'm through getting mad. I'm through wondering what's going on. I'm just gonna do my job the best I can. And I remember not long after that, the general manager asked me if I'd lead a Bible study. And it was like a day or so after. I just knew that had I not fixed my attitude, had I not said, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. Had I not done that, I don't think that opportunity would have presented itself. But another thing that I'm doing that I had no desire to do is I'm the music minister at my church. And that came about. Some things happened, and I was filling in, and I remember that I said, well, I'll help out until they find someone better. And I actually wrote a buddy of mine in prison. I told him that I'm doing the music right now, but just until they find someone to take over. And we had a guy come and he spoke, and he was a prophet, and you know, he would give words of knowledge and words of wisdom. But he called me up and he said, I don't know who you told this to. I don't know what exactly happened, but you're not doing what you're doing until they find someone better. He goes, you're it. And I can remember, I was like, whoa, you know, this is God, because no one else knew what I had written, my friend. And you know, through that, God has allowed me to minister, to do what I love to do, is music. I love music. I play guitar and any instrument that I get my hands on. But guitar is my favorite instrument. I love to play. I love music, and God has given me the opportunity to do that every week. You know, and not only that, but my pastor has helped me financially through music ministry. And it's not they have set it up that what you need is what we give you. There was a time that our youth pastor made more money than him because he needed more money. He had 5 kids, and he said that's the way they work. That's the way they work. That anyways, I'm getting off. But what I wanted to share with you guys, what was really in my heart, that where you're at is where you have chosen. Each one of you in life, wherever you're at, you know, wherever you're at spiritually, I don't know, but you know that God knows. God knows where each one of you's at. He knows what you've been through, and I also know that each one of you has a story. Each one of you has a story that you can tell. And I see a guy smiling. He's probably thinking, man, do I got a story. And, you know, you probably do. And you can use that for His glory if you choose. You know, and that's, you know, the Scripture said they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Sharing with each other, not only like this, in a setting like this, but sharing individually, you know, one-on-one and a small group. That's one of the things that helped me through prison, and that's one of the things that has helped me now. You know, I found out in prison that I wasn't alone in my struggles and my temptations. I can remember it was a group of about 3-4 of us men. We were talking, and we were sharing. We were sharing things that you don't share with people, you know, and we were sharing real intimate things that we had been through. And I'll never forget, man, you know, someone shared something, and I was like, you know, you actually experienced that? And I was like, yeah. I said, you know, I thought I was the only one. You know, I experienced the same thing. You know, I went through the same thing. You know, and the more we talk, the more we realize, you know what, that we're not alone in our struggle, and that word is true. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear. You know, so whatever it is that you've been through, whatever it is that you are going through, someone else somewhere has been through it. And they can share with you that, you know what, I went through that and I'm okay, you know, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's nothing it's the enemy wants you to be ashamed. He wants you to be ashamed of that you can't share with anybody. But let me tell you that find someone that you can share with, and have someone to be accountable to. I had men in prison that I was accountable to, that I would tell them, hey, you know, I'm struggling in this area. Well, let me pray with you. You know, they'd pray with me, and we would get through it together. And there's no lone rangers in serving Christ. You can't do it alone. You know, if you think you can, try it. You'll find out that you can't. But that's what I wanted to share. That you know, where you're at, you have chosen by the decisions that you have made. You have chosen where you are at right now. You know, some of you may go back to prison. Some of you may go back to doing drugs. Whatever it was whatever your vice is. Some of you are going to go back to it, you know, because everybody knows the statistics of going back to prison. You know, don't be that, you know. And it's you know, I can remember that what I wanted to keep that I found in prison, not just Christ, but was the simplicity of life. You know, the simplicity of life. I can remember just drinking a cup of coffee and just enjoying that. And I have many mornings where I do that. Where I get my coffee and I enjoy that. I enjoy the very simple things of life. I enjoy spending time with my wife and my baby. And one of the things that I enjoy the most is when we're just sitting together, no TV, just us, either reading or, you know, drawing or whatever it is, or talking. And that's life. Being in jail, hanging with the homeboys, all that's not life. That's not a life. You may think it is, but it's selfish. It's selfish to do that. But Leland, I'm. So I just wanted to... I just wanted to encourage you guys that that you can make it, and that you are somebody in Christ. That there are people that may think that you can't make it. There are people that may say you'll never make it. But with Jesus Christ, you can be a better person, and you can make it. And I don't mean that you have the three-figure job, whatever, the six-figure job, that you're making a lot of money. That the money does not mean you're successful. But so I just want to encourage you guys that each one of you guys and ladies as well, each one of you is special. Each one of you has something to offer this world. You're not here by accident. You are here because God wants you here, and He has something. He has something for each and every one of you. And if you will embrace that and seek and ask God, show me, Lord, what is it? You'll probably find that it's nothing more than just being His child, just showing the character of Christ to a world that really needs it.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. If you would, bow your heads with me just for a moment. We have a few minutes. And I'd be remiss if I didn't take this time to give you the opportunity to trust the Christ that Michael spoke about, to get to know Him. You're here tonight, and like Michael said, for a reason. God brought you here. To hear about somebody that's life was a mess and a wreck, and that Christ has made it worthwhile. A change, a turnaround, all because of choices. You say, Leland, I'd like to know that Christ that Michael spoke of. I'd like to have that joy. I'd like to have that peace. Would you pray for me that I'd make the right choice? Would you slip your hand up while heads are bowed and eyes are closed? Let me see your hand. I see your hand, sir, and yours. And yours, hon. Anyone else? Right quickly. Yes, sir. You can put them up when you put them up, and I recognize you. Put it back down. Yes, I see yours on the back. Now, the Bible says this, not what I said, not what Michael said, but what the Bible said, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, where you are, I want you to call on the name of the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins, that you rose again, that you paid the price to forgive my sins, and you'll take me to heaven. I believe that with all my heart. If you'll pray that prayer right now, then there's some others of you that just keep making the wrong choices. You know the right choices. God's dealt with you before. And you just keep going back for that short-term pleasure that brings long-term heartache. I want you to come in a moment, and when we stand to sing, I want you to come down and just kneel and ask God to get it right for you. I want you to stand now, if you will. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Father, for those that lifted their hands that needs to come to know you, we pray this very night. They'd not hesitate. They'd not put it off. They'd not wait. They'd not be wishy-washy this very moment. They'd make the choice to come to Jesus Christ tonight. Father, for those who drifted away, would they come back? Charles is singing, just as I am, would you come on the very first verse?
Just as I am.
Come on.
Without
somebody that can show you in the Bible exactly what you need to do. Come on, right now. Don't put it off. This is your time.
Thank you.
it that you want to do? Is it worth eternity separated from God? Is it worth all that? Come on. Bar will now be open. Get a chance to go by and speak to Michael and his wife Shannon, sweet little girl Sophia, and tell him you're going to pray for him. He's told you some of his heart's desire. You're dismissed. God bless you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.